There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Right, 107 FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile, hour number two on this Tuesday. Hey, y'all, Sean Sullivan, be here for the hour. Love to visit with you at 343-0106, 343-0106. Also, I mentioned my buddy John Sharp from AL.com is joining us, and I want to play something before we go to John. This is a clip here from our folks over at Westwood One, Bob Constantini reporting on President Trump and this latest issue with tariffs.
New trade war on the horizon with President Trump's tweet. The World Trade Organization finds that the European Union subsidies to Airbus has adversely impacted the United States, which will now put tariffs on $11 billion of EU products. The president has at times criticized the WTO, but would target not only aircraft parts, but go as far as wine and cheese. The European Commission is vowing to retaliate with tariffs on American goods.
Okay, you know, if it affects my supply of Gouda, which I don't like, or supply of French wines, which I do like, that's one thing. But what's in that discussion there is a very big deal for Southwest Alabama, and that's a discussion of Airbus in this and the Trump administration's plan to place those tariffs on EU products. More on this, you can read the story over at AL.com. Here's John Sharp. Hey, John.
Hey, Sean, how you doing?
Good. So, there's the tariff discussion has been one that seems to have been focused on China for a long time. But since the word go, the president has talked about EU, I'm coming for you too, and now he's doing what he does. He's living up to what he said.
You're correct, and we saw in the tweet here this morning that, he's looking, we're staring down at the potential of $11 billion on a tariff on EU products, and you are correct, very much impact potentially. We don't know the exact amount of impact yet, but we do know that there will be an impact in Mobile, where the plane parts aren't made at Alabama; they are shipped in to Alabama to be made. The planes are put together here in Mobile. The Airbus planes are. So yeah, there is going to be an impact. I just got, hot off the press is a comment here from Greg Canfield, Secretary of Commerce for the state of Alabama, basically said, that they are reviewing this. They are looking into this and seeing what the impact could be to companies in Alabama, including Airbus, should these tariffs be put into play. So, yes, there's been a lot of ink and discourse in regards to China in the last couple of months. But, this puts Europe into the spotlight as well.
Yeah, how does that, and I just not, really not done the mental exercise on this yet, the idea that, when I think tariffs, I think, okay, there's a factory making whatever widget in this other country, they want to sell it to a retailer, wholesaler here in the United States, the tariff is charged as that product comes off the ship and comes into the stores here, but in this case, like you said, assembly of, Airbus is making that thing, that part of the plane in Toulouse or somewhere else, and sending it to be assembled in the United States. Are tariffs added at that point? It seems like it's in the line of operations. You would only tariff the final product, or would they tariff the parts coming in? I'm ignorant to that.
Yeah, that's a good question as well, and I'm not totally sure myself, but it is a question that I plan on asking. That's a good question to ask Jimmy Lyons, which I would ask him. He oversees the Alabama Port Authority in the Port District as well, and plan on giving him a call here today in regards to that. It impacts the shipment overseas of these products into the United States, and the direct manufacturer of these of the airplane, of the Airbus manufacturing plant here in Mobile, and the cost of doing their operations presumably would go up. You're talking about the fuselages and everything that's coming in off boat to and shipped into Brooklyn, in the planes, the A320 family that's constructed here in Mobile. Now, you know, my understanding is, I haven't gotten any indication from Airbus, is that construction is still going on the hangar that will be housing the construction of the A220 family when that that assembly process is underway in the year 2020. So, I haven't got any indication that there could be a stoppage or any type of dire effect to the productivity that's going on right now at Airbus at Brooklyn.
Yeah, it is, and we're going to circle right back to specifically what the president said about Airbus in this tweet this morning. But I want to go, in this case, it seems similar to me to like an ArcelorMittal, the old ThyssenKrupp, where even though final assembly is here inside the United States, same thing with Airbus, that these products that are part of this come in. I mean, look at the iron ingots. I think they still come out of Brazil. They come up the Mobile River and go to ArcelorMittal that end up becoming the rolls of steel and all that are sent out. So the final product, sure, is produced here inside the United States, but that big thing, in the case of Airbus, it's parts of the fuselage, and in the ArcelorMittal, it's these iron ingots. They've got, I mean, I guess they're all would be tariffed coming in. And in this case, I know that's Brazil versus Europe, but I mean, these are things that aren't finished products coming into the U.S. that then become finished products.
That's correct. And they're all taxed as they're imported in. And you know, there's this big long list. I saw specifically fuselages that were listed on there. I mean, you're talking about the commercial airline parts specifically that are going to be affected by this. So there is going to be an impact to Mobile. Just starting to get this is kind of a new, this latest, this issue's been out there, but this latest tweet from the president and there was a statement yesterday by the U.S. Trade Representative's office in regards to, the tariffs on the list of EU products. So all this is kind of new news. And I'm sure that some of the officials in this state are starting to dissect it and will have some reactions and thoughts to it. I know there are concerns, lingering concerns from, the impact on the auto manufacturing sector with the tariffs in China. And that's still out there as well. So you got the aerospace industry and the automotive industry, both in Alabama, that are growing industries, I would say, and potentially being affected by U.S. trade policy. So it's going to be interesting to see what some of the reaction is from some of our lawmakers.
Do you know specifically, I mean, the president referencing it here, the World Trade Organization finds that the European Union subsidies to Airbus, he says, adversely impacted the United States. And then you write in your story at AL.com here, you said something to the effect of illegal, and I don't have it in front of me right now, but they are illegal subsidies to Airbus. What are those? I mean, you said, okay, his tweet comes in response to the WTO ruling in May last year that the EU had provided some illegal subsidies to Airbus. What does that look like? What is an illegal subsidy? I mean, how does that work?
Well, keep in mind that Boeing and Airbus are in this fierce competition for worldwide, aerospace supremacy. So it could be an interpretation of illegal tariffs or illegal subsidies in the viewpoint of the United States versus the way the European Union looks at it. So it
doesn't mean it broke EU law. It means it might have. I agree. I mean, the world is tilted against the United States in these deals, and I get that. But it did, when it says illegal subsidies Airbus, is that something that broke an EU law? Or you see what I'm trying to understand? Is it like you did this and you were found guilty of doing this?
Well, I think what President Trump was talking about was what the World Trade Organization's findings in this, and that's what he was, kind of putting back out there in regards to, I don't know the specific illegality in this, but, you know, he was citing that, the World Trade Organization's findings in regards to this particular subsidy.
All right, coming right back, more with John Sharp with AL.com. I'll link the story up on my Twitter feed right now, and you can check it out. But just breaking what this discussion from Washington means for us right back here in Alabama, and specifically in Southwest Alabama. We're rolling on right here, and it is Midday Mobile on FM Talk 106.5. By the way, those that have come up with some protest chants here for getting me back in the crawfish eating contest, I appreciate it. Thank you, Eric, especially.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
All right, 120 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Digging the Aerosmith. What was that the other day, Dalton, we were talking about? Isn't it like, what anniversary of Toys in the Attic? Toys in the Attic over, I think, is it over 40 years old?
I think it was 43 years yesterday, maybe 45 years, something like that.
Wow, and the, Steven Tyler's only had, what, probably five or six facelifts in that time?
That's it, just five or six facelifts, and maybe six or seven interventions.
Yes, exactly, but the 43 years, yeah, Toys in the Attic. It's
been a long time, one of my favorite albums.
Wow, time is moving on. I'll just put it that way. Hey, even Steven Tyler could get a great shave, even with that very tight face. Probably makes it easier to get a great shave. And if he was using Harry's, he'd get an even better shave. So I've been shaving with Harry's for like 4 years now. Been telling you year after year after year how much I love Harry's. And I want you to get on board with the 10 million of us who've tried Harry's, okay? They got a great offer for you right now. The best offer I've seen in all the years I've been talking about Harry's. You'll get the five-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and travel cover for just $3. That'd be $3, y'all, plus free shipping. I mean, for the amount of what you could be paying on the low end of a Mobile River Bridge toll, you could be shaving with Harry's. Make sure to use code MOBILE at harrys.com when you sign up. This is awesome. What I've been telling you about over time, that I love saving money, half price of what you're paying at the grocery store or pharmacy for your blades. Of course, I love the convenience of having those blades show up at the house so I don't have to remember to go out and get blades. But the key to the whole thing is those great shaves you get when you use Harry's. 100% quality guarantee. And for a limited time, Harry's has a special offer for y'all. If you're a new customer of Harry's, you'll get $5 off a trial set from Harry's when you use my code MOBILE at harrys.com. That means you get the razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and travel cover all for just $3, plus free shipping when you use code MOBILE at harrys.com. Go to harrys.com today and join the 10 million of us who have tried Harry's. Use code MOBILE at checkout to claim your offer and let them know I sent you. Help support Midday Mobile. And maybe we'll even send some to Steven Tyler. All right, return to our conversation with John Sharp from AL.com. What do you think? We get some Harry's to Steven Tyler?
Yeah, and, you know, the Toys in the Attic is interesting, just to kind of date me. It was released the same year I was born, and maybe not too long after you were born either, Sean.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I got a couple years. I got a few years on you, but yeah, it just it absolutely, when Dalton mentioned it the other day, it made me feel incredibly older than I had felt before hearing that. So yeah, 43 years ago for Toys in the Attic. All right, back to this this discussion, your story over at AL.com about the president now taking aim at the EU with tariffs, but this also means Airbus. It means a lot of other companies in the United States, but here locally, the big McGilla is Airbus.
And that is correct. And, interesting this, Trump, the president's putting the issue of this, the tariff issue and Airbus out there in the public spotlight right now. And, you know, we're only, maybe a few weeks after the whole situation of the grounding of the 737 MAX commercial jet airlines that were produced by Boeing and you know, the difficulties that Boeing will probably be facing with regards to, to that, following several, tragic crashes overseas. And it makes you wonder, too, whether or not there might be any connection there. I don't know. I doubt it. But, that certainly comes to mind when you start thinking, that this fierce competition between Airbus and Boeing, and interestingly enough, how this all kind of plays out in our own backyard here in Mobile. We are North America's largest manufacturing plant for Airbus aircraft.
And we're I think, going to be the third biggest on planet Earth. Is that right?
Well, yeah, I think that's been kind of, it's been pitched that way. And I don't know exact rankings right now, but yeah, it's going to be substantial. And you know, they're building that hangar, and they're going to be building the A220 family there in 2020. So a significant impact to the economy here in Mobile and in South Alabama. When Airbus, I remember when Airbus was first announced, you know, the word transformative to the entire region was bandied about, and you know, comparisons were already drawn on how Boeing has, you know, transformed Seattle and how potentially that could transform Mobile someday. And you know, it takes a while. That doesn't happen overnight. It evolves over a period of time. And so it's, you know, as you see these expansions at the Airbus plant and all the activity that we keep seeing at Brookley and it's exciting for city leaders and for the Chamber of Commerce and those type of folks here in Mobile to see this type of activity. So yeah, whenever I'm sure there's a obstacle thrown up and with regards to announcements of or threats of $11 billion in tariffs as a result of Airbus activity overseas, that I'm sure is going to generate a lot of attention here back home in Alabama.
Yeah, and it's interesting. It's not just for Alabama, but I will, I'll look at our home state here. I'm sure this same discussion goes on elsewhere. But in today's economy, and the number of international companies that are manufacturing things or assembling their whatever here stateside, it does muddy the water. The idea of us versus them, American company, international company, those waters are muddied. I mean, we're looking at it here with Airbus, but you mentioned the automotive manufacturers. Which one is more important to people? Is it more important to defend the American companies that may be doing work overseas and have jobs there? Or is it more important to be defending the local jobs, whether they be a Mercedes or they be a Hyundai or they be a Toyota or they be, some other company here inside the state of Alabama where those jobs actually exist, even though that company is based in wherever. It's in Japan. It's in France. It's somewhere else.
Yeah, you make an interesting point. I mean, the days of, rooting for, Chevy and Ford over all the other auto manufacturers, especially if you're an Alabama resident and support Alabama industry, are probably over with, because, you're looking at the Toyotas and the Hondas and, the Hyundais and, the auto manufacturers that are doing business in this state. It has more of an impact, I would imagine, than what's going on up in Michigan. So, it's not a black and white situation at all.
I mean, I know Boeing has, they have the Huntsville, and I think they have one in Daleville in southeast Alabama, but their impact on the local jobs, I don't think, is equivalent with what Airbus will be in our area, correct? I
mean, you're correct. Boeing does have an impact in the Huntsville area, so I don't want to be fair to that, certainly so. But Airbus has really placed an imprint here in Mobile. In the future, right now looks, sky's the limit, I suppose, with regards to how much they can expand on that property at Brookley, and they are expanding, and they're producing airplanes. They're making the actual airplanes here at Mobile versus, to a lesser extent elsewhere, that Boeing would be doing elsewhere. So, it certainly has a bigger impact here in Mobile with what Airbus has currently doing their imprint on this part of the state.
Okay, John, with just a couple minutes left, I'm going to slam the shift selector from reverse straight into drive, even though we're doing about 5 miles an hour backwards here, and to talk to you about the pre-council meeting you were at today for Mobile City Council. You said there was some, I saw on Twitter, you said some dramatic things going on. What was happening?
Well, it was a lively pre-conference meeting. It's the meeting that's held before the actual city council meeting that is televised or is placed online. And basically the discussion was a continuation of the talks that have already gone on with regards to this concern of gun thefts from unlocked vehicles. And Councilman C.J. Small suggested that perhaps we should look at existing ordinances, if we have them on the books, reckless endangerment ordinances, and maybe look at utilizing those to fine or ticket a gun owner of an unlocked whose personal weapon is stolen out of an unlocked vehicle. and used in a crime, that could be perhaps used as a deterrent. That was kind of his approach to the issue today. It was kind of a different approach. That sparked a little bit of a discussion in which James Barber, the executive director of public safety for the city, suggested that there was a legislation forthcoming in Montgomery that would elevate the offense of stealing or being in possession of a stolen firearm from apparently it's right now just a misdemeanor. It would be elevated to a felony. So there was some discussion on that. And of course, there was, you know, other issues as well that were discussed. But it was another lively discussion in regards to this particular sensitive issue right now in Mobile, where, you know, we've seen some of the statistics that Mr. Barber's put out there that are, I think, fairly eye opening. I mean, you're talking about what 1,200 in a year. Mm-hmm.
That's just reported. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's just reported. You're correct. And so. You know, certainly it's an issue that Mobile is in the top of the council's mind right now, and there's, as you can imagine, no easy fix on something like this. And so the discussion was ongoing today. What they want to do is eventually vote on a resolution that would be taken up to Montgomery as far as, hey, this is what the city council feels, and we support this particular measure. And today I got a kind of an indication that maybe Mr. Barber's this bill that he's supporting would be sponsored by Representative Matt Simpson in Montgomery, that to elevate the offense of being in possession of a stolen firearm seemed to be something that was received favorably from the council. But again, this will come back up again next week.
All right, John, as always, we appreciate your time. If folks want to reach out to you on Twitter, where you at?
Yeah, I'm at JohnSharp99.
Very good. Thanks, John.
All right, Sean.
Coming right back. Your calls as we move on through Midday Mobile on this Tuesday. Coming right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 135 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile rolls on this Tuesday. Interesting pickle, you gotta imagine. Not heard anything from Congressman Burns' office here. Well, I haven't. That's not true. I've got something from Congressman Burns' office talking about the House Trump investigation raises serious constitutional concerns. But I'm talking about on the tariff thing. It's like politicians got to run and hide. And it's because this dichotomy that's out there. And I wonder what y'all's feelings are on this, because I think there's something, if you want to just whistle past the graveyard and pretend it's not there, that's one thing. But if you want to be fair, a fair arbiter of things, to engage in the conversation and say, okay, what is more important? And you could say, I can make the argument. I could sit here and make the argument both ways, I think, and feel like I'm doing a good job of both. Is it to defend American companies with tariffs, right? All American companies, to defend them with tariffs at the loss maybe of jobs that are in the country? Or is it, if you're a local, you know, if you're a politician from your district or your state, you're a senator or a House member, I mean, what about that? Because the jobs with Ford and Chevy, they don't make a difference to us. But as go the jobs with Toyota, Mazda, there's a Kia, Mercedes, as goes Airbus, go the jobs around here. So if you're doing your job representing your constituents, they are Americans, of course. Number one, we're Americans. But number two, they're residents of a place that is impacted by an international company. That's why I think it's a interesting conversation. It's a nuanced conversation. So therefore, of course, it has no home in today's American political dialogue, because everybody just did my team, your team. Yeah. Let's go to the phones. David, next in Mobile. Hey, David.
Hey, Sean, and not to get even more nuanced in this discussion, but you know as well as I do that I follow this pretty closely.
That's an understatement. And, yeah.
Yeah. The World Trade Organization ruling that is allowing the Trump presidency to move forward with these tariffs is related to the 80 program and the loans and the incentives that it got. Well, earlier this year, Airbus announced that it was discontinuing that line, and there is a thought process out there that with Airbus closing that production down, they have satisfied the damage to Boeing, and that the World Organization will go back and rule that they've corrected the problem, and therefore there's no more legal basis for these tariffs. On top of that, the World Trade Organization, within the last month or two, ruled that Boeing received illegal subsidies from the state of Washington and the United States government, that it would allow the European Union to go back and really stick it to Boeing and American companies in a trade war if the Trump administration wanted to go down that road. And then furthermore, it's complicated by the fact that the European Union and America are in the process of negotiating a trade agreement right now, a new trade agreement that could kind of muddle and scuttle things all together. So, I mean, there's a lot of moving parts in this. This isn't the end of the story, and it's so nuanced that, you know, the only people that are going to get rich by all this, by the time it's all said and done, are the lawyers.
You could say that about everything. I appreciate the call. Part of me is going to, like I said, I can make an argument both ways. I can defend absolutely what the president's doing, and I can impugn it as well, because I think there are, you can choose your facts and go after them one way or another on this. But what's interesting is politicians and the quandary they're in. Because I can tell you right now, this could be, like so many times with the president, part of a negotiation. Right? This is part of getting the EU to comply. He really doesn't want it to go through and risk jobs in Mobile or Schenectady or Sacramento, or maybe Sacramento, in Billings. He didn't want to risk a job in St. Louis. I get that. But the job, the game he's playing is a risky one, right? Because you've got to mean what you say when you threaten something in one of these situations. So, and then if you're a local, it's easier to be the president and talk about this because you're president of these United States and all of us, versus if you're Bradley Byrne, what do you say? If you're Congressman Bradley Byrne, what if you're one of the senators? What do you say? What if you're Richard Shelby? What do you say? If you're Doug Jones, what do you say? That's where I think it's interesting that you got one issue here that's an international issue of trade, and the issue that's of overall importance to the United States. But your job as a senator or a House member is to our nation, our republic, of course. At the same time, it's the constituents back home. And is protecting Boeing, even though, let's say you're an AL1, because Boeing is represented in North Alabama, and they got a little facility over in Daleville in southeast Alabama. But if you're not there, you're an AL1. You're Bradley Byrne. What do you say? Let's go to J.D. and Sims next. Hey, J.D.
How you doing?
I'm good, man. What's up?
This is just my opinion, but I mean, I believe Trump, as far as Trump goes, he's not really concerned about tariffs. He's using that as a bargaining tool to try to get us a better deal, because he's giving these foreign countries a dose of their own medicine.
Oh, I agree.
They've been getting by with this stuff for years, and you know, we've been acting like, well, what else can we give you? What else can we do to appease you? What else can we do to make you happy? They hadn't offered us the time of day, and I'm just thinking that he's trying to get a better deal. He's a businessman from the outside looking in. He knows what the deal is, and these politicians in the past have just, you can't buy your friends. We've tried it. We're still trying it. You can't buy your friends. You know, I mean, it just don't make sense. But I believe he's trying to get a better deal, and if he can get a better deal, anything is better than nothing.
Yeah,
that's
okay.
What we've gotten in the past. Anything is better than nothing. If he can get something, you know, I mean, I believe he'd let the tariffs go, and it'd be just like he wants to trade. But, I mean, he's looking at it like, we're not stupid, or at least I'm not stupid. He said, I'm not going to do this, you know, by my attempt to buy my friends. I mean, we can work a deal, but, I mean, you're going to give some, too. We're not going to do all the giving.
Oh, I agree with you, J.D. I think it's part of a negotiation, but I would argue this, that in a negotiation, you know, you have to be willing to walk away from something, right? You have to really go in there. If you and I are going to go buy, we're going to go buy a four-wheeler, you know, and I've got a price in mind, and that other guy, old boy's got a price higher than that, I got to have a dollar point where I say, well, sorry, man, good luck, you know, where I walk away. And in this case, the president would, if the EU calls the bluff, have to live up to these tariffs. And what does that mean for, and I don't know. I don't know that anybody's told us exactly what it means for jobs here stateside. And it is a weird world where we're in because, you know, we can defend American companies, but there's not a Ford plant or a Chevy plant or a Boeing plant here in Mobile, is there? You know what I'm saying? We've got Austal out of Australia, got them, and we've got Airbus in here. We got companies that are hiring people here, but they're foreign companies. But they're jobs for folks right here at home.
Well, you get Ford. You know, I mean, it's all kind of foreign parts on a Ford car. Yeah. You know, it's not completely American anymore.
A lot of them Mexican.
In General Motors, it's not completely. It's Canada, everywhere else. You know, I mean, it's not completely General Motors. And, you know, so, I mean, but like you said, there's a buying, selling price and an asking price.
That's right.
And like you say, you know, you can be in the catbird seat. And if you've got to have something, well, you might do something that you regret later, but you do have a vehicle or whatever. But. Right. You know, if you don't have,
walk
to
away.
Have it,
yeah, you
can
walk
away.
Away,
like you said. Yeah. But, I mean, still, I mean, I'm just saying, you might have to bite the bullet for a little while. We've gotten so soft in America to where, you know, you can go out with your credit card and be in debt up to your eyeballs and not worry about it. You know, you make that minimum payment every month and be the rest of your life, yeah. You know, but, I mean, you pay $7,000 for that $1,500 ride normal.
Well,
you know,
said.
But I mean, you know, so I mean, you got to bite the bullet occasionally.
But do we have to?
We have to bite the bullet for a little while, you know, because all these years we've been riding on credit.
There we go. JD, I appreciate the call. It's just one of those questions that do we. Yeah, who bites the bullet in this? Let's say it goes through, and I'm with you, JD. Like I said, I can make this case both ways, and this is part of this negotiation process. But the homer in me, American, but Mobile guy is would sure like, if you gave me a choice, who has to suffer during a tariff battle with the EU, I'd rather it be someone else other than us. I mean, that's just that. I believe me, I take my arrows on that, but I'm just being frank. That is self-serving? Sure it is. I say self-serving. It's self-serving as a Mobilian, right? As somebody here in Alabama. And that's the tough thing. When we get in these discussions, we look at our state, and our state's not alone. But you look at the Southeast and the amount of auto manufacturing, and look at these companies. Toyota, Mazda, Hyundai, right? Is it Hyundai, isn't it? Yeah. Or is it, you know, there's a Kia plant? Is there a Hyundai plant too? Are they the same thing? I know there's that one that's over there near Auburn. And Mercedes-Benz, and then look at Airbus, look at ArcelorMittal, look at these international companies, but the jobs are right here at home. All right, grab another call here, 343-0106. And by the way, if we don't get into detail by the end of the show on what happened in the city council meeting, if you missed it, they voted to bring in Darby Creek. So Darby Creek is in for being annexed in the city. It'll come in right away, be paying full freight in the property taxes and the tax base. But going forward, as Councilman Williams said the other day, don't expect a lot of neighborhoods coming in that don't have some sort of retail component. This is going to be, as this police jurisdiction and fire jurisdiction continues to be pulled back, and if this bill makes it through in Montgomery to give the cities the autonomy to do that, there's going to be so much talk about annexation. It's going to blow your mind going forward. All right, Clint is in Fairhope up next. Hey, Clint.
Hey, Sean. How are you doing?
I'm good, man. What's up?
Not much. I just thought it was funny. JD is a Trump supporter, mm-hmm. and he doesn't like living on credit, right?
Right.
Right.
Well, this nation lives on credit.
What do you think of this deficit number when it comes out in 2019 over $1 trillion?
You know what, though? I've come to believe, Clint, because for 10 years, which, by the way, the radio station FM Talk, turns 10 on May 1st. I've been, sticking to my guns and my worry about being in debt and my fiscal conservatism, and I've realized I'm one of, like, seven people that cares. So I guess I'm saving my breath, because nobody cares.
Well, I'm number six. I guess nobody cares, but I don't know. You can't say, well, I don't like to live on credit, and then, Trump's a genius. He's going to drop the deficit back over $1 trillion. You just can't you know, it's hard to reconcile those two.
No, you're right. And the bigger question, though, what do you do? What if you're and I think we're a real good example in AL1 because the business is here, and the same thing would be true if you're around, you know, Tuscaloosa or East Alabama. What do you do here if you're the representative of Congress and you're Republican? You're going to stand with the president on these tariffs, or what do you do if that means people lose jobs at home? You know, even though they're foreign companies.
If you're the representative here, you don't stand with tariffs on Airbus. You tell the idiot to stop talking about tariffs. But I'm talking about the national deficit running back up over $1 trillion.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about. So.
Yeah, listen, the deficit spending, that's the way, man. It's the American way, Clint.
Whew, it hurts. It hurts.
No, man, not until eventually the music stops and somebody's left without a chair, right?
Yeah. Well, it will, but, people get the deficit and the debt confused a lot of times. I wish people on the radio would clarify that more, but you know, it was about $1.2 when Obama took over, worked its way down under $500 million a year by the time it left office, and then now it's gone back up $700-800 billion, back over to $1 trillion this year. So heading in the wrong direction. But people like JD, they got to realize Trump's living on credit.
Well, I'll say this as we run to break, though, that we have a lot better chance of growing an economy. And I'm with you. I'm with you, Clint. I don't like deficit spending. Anybody's listening to any period of time. But we have a better chance of a stronger economy that eventually could get around to, if we have the willpower, to paying down deficit under Trump than we did Obama, for sure. Hey, let's do this as we run to the break, too. I'm looking for caller number 6 at 343-0106. A pair of tickets to go check out Jim Gaffigan's Quality Time Tour. That's coming to the Wharf Amphitheater Saturday, May 11th. Tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster.com and the Wharf box office, but caller number 6 at 343-0106. The tickets are yours. Good luck. We're coming right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Dang it. It looks like I'm going to run out of time on my big Washington County cell phone tower story, but we'll get that to that tomorrow. By the way, too, programming note, Midday Mobile tomorrow from the USS Alabama. When I say from the USS Alabama, I'm excited, y'all. For the first time ever, we're on the Fantail. We're putting the FM Talk 106.5 mobile command unit, our remote broadcast studio, we're driving it up onto the battleship. I hope everything works out right, because I'm doing the driving. We'll be out there doing Midday Mobile from noon to 1 tomorrow, and then our veterans show, the Scuttlebutt Boys, Tom and Cal and the gang, they're on at 1 tomorrow. We are live on the USS Alabama. So that's going to be a great thing. Congratulations to Norm and Mobile for winning the tickets to Jim Gaffigan. Also, Norm wanted to hold on and talk annexation. It's like a 2-for-1, Norm.
Hey, how about that? I was telling the guy that I talked to earlier.
Dalton.
I called 2 weeks ago and won the chocolate tickets as well.
Man, you've got like a speed dial deal. You're going to be banned for a while. Yeah.
I want to see what the trifecta is going to be next week.
I don't know. We're going to put you on the do not call list.
Don't do that.
All right. So you want to talk annexation.
I really enjoy your show. Listen to it every day. But the question is, my property backs up to Darby Creek.
Okay.
I have city water, city sewer. But, of course, I live on a dead-end street, and we don't have any businesses or anything to offer the city. So what in the world is going to happen to me?
Well, you know, I thought it was a great, frank conversation that Councilman Williams had with us yesterday. And we're talking about the Bay Bear Stadium, but we got off into a discussion of annexation. And he, in so many words, said, if Darby Creek is going to be kind of a one-off. If other neighborhoods don't have a lot of retail, the chance of them getting voted in is going to be tough. And So, I mean, he just said where he thinks the rest of the council will vote. I think he didn't say exactly how he would vote, but he said, man, I think it's going to be tough, and I'm paraphrasing here, for right. neighborhoods that don't have some retail base to get in. So unless, you know, your neighborhood comes in with whatever stores or whatever, then it'll have a tough time getting in.
Yeah, well, the majority of the, you know, I've been to the two meetings that they had out on Dawes Road at the church, and Councilman or Commissioner Carl.
Yeah.
And, you know, the majority of the neighborhoods don't have anything to offer.
And that's a tough situation. So then do they have to incorporate in their own right? What are you going to do about fire? What does that do to your insurance? I mean, that's a big deal.
It is. It certainly is. So it's going to be interesting to see where they go from here. I mean, you know, Darby Creek doesn't have anything to offer. They have no retail.
Nope. He said it. I mean, Councilman Williams said, he said, this is going to be probably a one-off because he said, this is different. He said, this doesn't fit our model of what brings people into the city.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of, it's, you know, you look down the street on Solly Road, down past Darby Creek, the only thing that's annexed by the city is Winfield Subdivision.
Hmm.
You know why they're in?
I don't.
$500,000 homes.
There you go. Property tax. Yeah, property tax. Yeah. Will get, and it's
nobody,
all...
Nobody else up and down Solly Road is in the city.
And it's a numbers game, right? I mean, you heard him say, you know, he said the other day, he said, I think that they break even. They just break even or maybe make a dollar or two in revenue with Darby Creek to be able to bring them in and offer fire and police. Yeah. So this will be a question going forward. Norm, congratulations on winning, and I appreciate the call, and call back soon. All right, we're out of here. Be back tomorrow morning bright and early for Mobile Mornings. Paul Feinbaum on the way next. Lots of hoops to talk about, of course, after last night's game. And once again, pretty cool stuff. We will be on the battleship tomorrow doing the show inside the FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Command Unit, unless I screw up driving it up onto the fantail to be seen. Y'all have a good one.